Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Group. We're so glad you're here. This podcast was recorded at our weekly Frontline program. We hope it encourages you and we'd love to see you at our next event. Enjoy.
Is there a girl by the name of Bree, by any chance? Bree. I was worshipping and I just heard your name, and I'm pretty sure if this doesn't resonate with you, just let it fall. It's fine. I felt like the Lord just say that he wanted to encourage you because you may need a little bit of encouragement. I'm not sure what's going on in your life at the moment, but I felt like the Lord say, just encourage Bree just to keep close to me, keep in the word, and to be excited about Christianity and about your future and the future that God's got for you. It's quite bright. And so there may be some thoughts in your mind around doubt, and I'm not sure if it's around identity or whatever it might be, but that doubt, those seeds of doubt didn't come from God, and he wants to really turn that around to confidence and just a really awesome expectation in your future. He's got a plan for you, and it's amazing. Absolutely amazing, okay? And Mitch, pretty sure it's you, Mitch. I know you felt like that you probably don't have like a pastor's. We had a bit of a chat just before. I actually do think you have a pastor's heart. I think you do care for people. And I do think the Lord's always going to prod you in that soft kind of heart for people. And I know I gave you a word a year ago as well. And it feels like every single time I get up here, the Lord's want to deal with you. So you take it to him in prayer. I like doing this stuff, and I actually like getting this stuff wrong sometimes, just to show you guys it's actually normal to walk in the Spirit and the giftings of encouragement. And this is not just for super special people who are on stage. It's for absolutely everyone. And that's what we saw last year. The Holy Spirit broke out and gave you guys confidence in your new creation, your identity, who you actually are, because you guys are special and God wants to do amazing things for you. Are you guys excited about what God's got for you in life? Yeah? I'm glad you're excited because I'm going to challenge you tonight. Give you a bit of a hard word. No, I'm kidding. It's going to be awesome. This actually may be the last time I speak with you guys. I know I said that in 2023, but Matty invited me here. Unless he invites me back again just before I leave. As Matt mentioned, I've been called to be a missionary to Cambodia. Has anyone been to Cambodia before? Yeah? Anyone to Phnom Penh? Yep. Okay. The Phnom Penh is the main city that we're going to go and do mission work. We're going to plant churches, do humanitarian work. There's a lot of poverty around there and a lot of challenges. And I'm going to share with you guys a little bit of the story around how God effectively said and commanded me to go to a country that I wasn't born in. I was born in Fiji, but a country that needs Jesus. What we're talking about and the subject of topic is alter your life, putting your life on the altar. And it's one of those things where it's a topic where it can actually be quite challenging, but I guarantee you that if you take God's word, you take what God is saying to you. Have you guys got your Bibles there and your notepads and pens? Do that now. Don't write down what I say, but what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through me. And I want to be honest with you. I don't care to be a famous preacher. I don't even care if you don't know what my name is by the end of this sermon. All I care about is Jesus exalted and the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Because at any point when you obey the word of the Holy Spirit who lives inside you, it can change your life. Just one word. It took one word for me to completely alter my life and change the direction of it. Just one word. And whatever you're going through, and I understand, you know, when I talk to young kids, they're like, oh, they're not really going through much. Until I start talking to young kids, and they are carrying the weight of the world, it will take one word from the Lord to completely change your life. I've grown up in church and I've been in church in your age and even younger. And I can't tell you how many times I'd sit and listen to a preacher and listen to the 30, 40 minute sermon and get nothing out of it. But when I ask the Lord, can you speak to me? I'm so surprised by how faithful he is to actually speak to me. So that's what I want you to do tonight. As I'm speaking, just ask the Holy Spirit, what's the word for me? Is that okay? Now, who's got their Bibles? Let's open it up to Genesis, which is easy. It's the first book of the Bible. Chapter 22. And we're talking about altering our lives by putting our lives on the altar. For those of you who have not grown up in church, you might be a bit confused about the word altar. What is the word altar? What is an altar? The word altar and altars are all through the Bible. And effectively, it's a place where we sacrifice something to God. Altars and sacrifice are pretty much synonymous. And so we can go everywhere in the Bible and we can go to so many places to look at altars, but I want to have a look at one particular altar that Abraham used, and we're going to look at it in Genesis 22, and we're going to start at verse 7. Now, just to set it up for you, how many know who Abraham and Sarah are in the Bible? Just put your hands up if you know Abraham and Sarah. What were they hoping for from God? Son, a child. And what happened? They got it. They got a child. They actually got a child at their old age. It was said in the scriptures that Sarah was barren. She couldn't bear any children. And so after a long promise and after a long waiting, the Lord allowed her, like it actually says in the scripture, get this, that the Lord renewed her youth, meaning she looked old and she was old and then she became young. So much so that a foreign king thought she was hot at about 90 years old. I'm looking forward to being 90. The Lord renewed her youth and she conceived and bore a son. Now, you guys are young and obviously this may not apply to you, but me and my wife, we've actually been going through trying to have a baby for quite a while. Now, we've got two kids, Levi and Ruby, but ideal would be to have four children. The pain that we experience from wanting a baby and not having, it's sometimes harder. It's sometimes so hard I can't really even put it into words. Now, I can imagine Abraham and Sarah wanting a baby for so long. And in that culture, if you did not have children and you did not have a baby, it was attached with shame. It's like my son comes to me and is like, oh, Dad, can I get Roblox on iPad? I'm like, what's Roblox? Oh, it's these two big games that you play on iPad and all my friends have it. I'm like, no, let's just get an Xbox and play FIFA 24 or NBA 2K24, right? That's what I grew up with. And so I ask him, why do you want that? And the reason why he wants that is because he wants to fit in with the people in school. In the same way, in this culture, when you had a baby, you actually fit in with the status of people in that time. And these guys found it really hard, and Sarah found it really hard. And so all of a sudden, God had blessed him. And you can imagine how happy you would be to receive a son. That son would be a blessing. It's a miracle child. But if you go with me to Genesis 22, God asks Abraham to do something. So Genesis 22, verse 1, and then we'll skip a few. It says this. After these things, God tested Abraham and said, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Talk about family problems. The miracle child, the one they've been waiting for, the one that they experienced shame and God had taken away their shame, the one that had been born and nothing like this had ever happened, the one that Abraham looked at every single morning, kissed on the forehead, greeted his son Isaac with a smile every single morning, hugged him, taught him how to hunt, put him to bed, taught him the wisdom of the world. Finally, I have a son and the Lord is asking me to sacrifice my son. Now, in this culture, that's a very weird thing. It was weird back then as well. But not only that, God said, through your son, you are going to save the whole world. Everyone look at each other, just you know, to your left and right. Did you know the reason why you're sitting here right now is because God made a promise to Abraham and said, you are going to have children that is going to be as many as the stars in the sky and as much as the sand that you see every single day. The children that God was talking about to Abraham is you guys. But that was going to come through Isaac, and that was going to come through Jesus. And God had just said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. I'm losing my dearly beloved son, and I'm losing this promise that you made to me. His whole world was shaken by that one command that God gave him. Just imagine what you would be feeling like, Abraham, as you're walking with Isaac. It says here that he got on a donkey, he carried some sticks, and he knows he's going to sacrifice his son on this mountain. He's going to build an altar. Isaac doesn't know. So he's kind of like, all chirpy, you're going up a hill, we're going to do a burnt offering. He gets up and it says in this scripture here, it says, and Abraham took the wood, this is verse 8, of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took his hand in fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, my father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built an altar. Everyone say altar. Abraham built an altar. There he laid the wood in order to bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Say altar again. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took a knife to slaughter his son. At that moment, it says, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Goes on to say, Abraham looked up and there was actually a lamb or a ram caught in the thicket of the bush. This was a test from God asking Abraham, are you willing to put everything on the altar? Everything that you hold dear, are you willing to put it on the altar? I'm asking you. We don't play a religion here. We don't come to a meeting and then go away. This is Christianity, my friends. Are you willing to give up everything for the Lord? Is there anything that you're holding that is coming between you and God? I want you to fast forward thousands of years later. All right, so if you've got your Bible, open up to Luke. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Just put your hands up if you're there. The fastest person gets a chocolate. All right. Maddie, can you get a chocolate organised, mate? Oh, I don't have any chocolates on me. Awesome. Oh, okay. There's probably a few people here. Probably got there too. All right, Luke 22. Verse 39. All right, you guys there with me? It says this is Jesus. We'll read from verse 39. It says, and he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. So Jesus here is about to come to his crucifixion. He's with his disciples. He goes up to this mountain and goes, I'm going to go pray to the Lord, knowing that his time has come. People familiar with Jesus' story? Sacrifice for our sins? Yep. He says, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Jesus himself knew what he came to earth to do from a very young age. when he was your age, he was in the temple questioning the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were astounded by his wisdom at the age of 12 years old. You're not too young to serve God. In fact, it's through you that the Lord's revival will come. How many guys know that? So at a very young age, Jesus knew why he came to earth, was to die for the sins of mankind. Now, when it came to the point where this had started to become a reality, has anyone ever felt that before? Like, for example, you're studying for an exam and you're like, oh, yeah, exam's really far away. It's really far away. Then the day before, you're like, I haven't studied. And now you're all of a sudden, you're panicking. The time has come. You don't feel prepared. Well, Jesus was prepared. But the time has come for him to step into his destiny. Now, I want you guys to imagine with me for a second, all right? This is Jesus, the Savior of the world. He comes to the mountain. He knows why God put him to earth. Born of a virgin. He's healed so many people, and he's even telling his disciples, I'm going to go, and I'm going to die. But when the time comes, he says this to the Lord, can you take this cup from me? It says here in this scripture that he was praying and so sorrowful that he was sweating like drops of blood. Now, some people say it was blood. He was sweating so hard that he was bleeding. Or that he was sweating so hard that if you cut yourself, it was like everywhere. What kind of anxiety was he going through that he would say, Lord, take this cup from me. I actually can't. I don't want to do it. What kind of anxiety was he experiencing that he was sweating so hard like it was drops of blood? And some people say, look, yeah, obviously, you know, he was about to get crucified, put on the cross, the 9-inch nails through his hands, through his feet, asphyxiated. He was going to get whipped. He's going to get his beard pulled out. He's going to get a crown of thorns on his head. And yes, he was looking forward to that and saying, Lord, I don't want to do that. Can I actually submit to you guys, that's not actually why he was so anxious. It wasn't the physical pain that Jesus didn't want to go through. Do you want to know how I can prove that? It says later on in scripture, when Peter got crucified, he got crucified upside down. That's what historians tell us. The night before he got crucified, Peter slept like a baby. How is our Savior sweating like drops of blood and Peter sleeping like a baby before the crucifixion? It says in scripture, Paul got whipped 39 times, I think like 4 times. He got beaten, got stoned to death. He got chased by robbers. He was stranded in the sea. He got bit by a viper. He got persecuted every single way he went. The Lord actually told Paul, in this town, when you go preach the word, you are going to get persecuted. Not once did Paul sweat like drops of blood. Not once did he say, can you take this cup away from me? He did say, I can't take this, but the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. But not once was he doing what Jesus was doing. So why was Jesus doing that and these guys not doing this? And I want to submit to you, the pain that Jesus was about to go through was not physical. It was spiritual. What Jesus went through, no person in history before him or after him has ever gone through. You have a holy God from all eternity past has never touched sin. And for the first time in history, he was going to become sin for you. I don't think... See, we drink sin in like it's water. We live in a culture of sin. This is a holy God that had never experienced sin. And for the first time in history, he was going to take that for you. It's like going to the city of Phnom Penh, standing right in front of the sewage and going, I'm going to allow this. I'm going to drink this up. For the first time, he was going to get separated from the Father's favor. For the first time, he was going to get punished for something he never did, spiritual. Anger, wrath, the wrath of God. For the first time, that communion between the Father and Jesus was going to get broken. for the first time, he wasn't going to just take sin. It says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5, that he was going to become sin so that you would become righteous. This is, and we're talking about this, think about the worst things that people have ever done in history. He was going to get treated like he himself did that. And he said to the Father, can you please take this cup for if there's any way, if there's any other way. But you know what Jesus says? Not my will, but your will be done. He put his will on the altar. I can't, like, it would take a million years in heaven for Jesus to explain what he actually did on the cross. I've not done it justice there at all. What he went through on the cross, if we could just grab a glimpse of it, we would go insane. But he did that for you because he loves you. He kept nothing back for you. Nothing. Where Abraham stopped in crucifying his son, God the Father didn't. God went through with it for you. If you are here tonight and you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, tonight is the night. He loves you so much. He kept nothing away from you. There is nothing he would not do for you. Do we understand that? That type of love, it's not like the love we see in the movies. And the world's trying to define what love is. Do you know what love is? When we spat in his face, we pulled out his beard, when we whipped him and a crown of thorns were put in his head, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That is love. And don't let anyone in the world tell you that you need to subscribe to a different kind of love. That's the love that lives inside you through the Holy Spirit. He kept nothing from you. My question is, are we keeping something back from God? Have we put our will on the altar? I'm sorry, I think I almost spat on you guys. My apologies. Be baptized. Sorry. Is there anything in your will, what you want to do, your dreams, your plans, that you're saying, God, no, I want this for myself? In November 2022, I was sitting in my office, and after 9 months, I used to be a young adults pastor, I stepped off as a young adult pastor, I was in my office, and for 9 months, the Lord said, you're not meant to do young adults anymore. That was crazy because I enjoyed it so much. I had it figured out. Everything was happening and I was having coffees with people. I was living the dream. But for 9 months, I was hitting my head against a wall because the Lord said, I'm to do church planting. So from about March or so, February, March, I was trying to get everyone together in Melbourne, getting some church planters together, discipling people, spreading the gospel, but I was hitting my head against the wall. Nothing was happening. And I was sitting in my office one day and I said, Lord, you know I've given absolutely everything up for you. I've given up an electrical career to become a pastor, which I never really wanted to do, but I'm glad because I love it now. You know, I gave up friends when I came to follow you. I could have made a lot of money, maybe, I'm hoping. But I gave it all up because of you, and you told me, and I loved young adult pastoring, and you told me to step off. And there's nothing. I feel embarrassed. And I said this to the Lord. I'm laying everything on the altar. Everything. It was just me and the Lord. I wasn't doing this for show. I wasn't doing this so someone would say, oh, Ben's so super spiritual. I was in my office. My wife is out, my kids are at school. I was frustrated and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your will? Not my will, but your will be done in my life. And the Lord said, And I'm not saying it's an audible voice, it was in my spirit. But it was louder than an audible voice. I said, yes, Ben, I did call you to disciple making and church planting, but you're going to Cambodia. And I said, no. I'm like, Cambodia, no. And the Lord reminded me, are you sure you've given absolutely everything to me? For 15 minutes I sat there. I'm like, is this the Lord? Is this the devil? Is this, did I eat something funny? And for 15 minutes I considered with the Lord. And I said, okay. Now, it's not just, I'm not making a decision for myself, I'm making a decision for my whole family. We're going to Cambodia. That night I was in a meeting, and in the Zoom meeting with my board, I said, did anyone hear the Lord about vision or anything like that? And they're like, no, not really. And I'm kind of sitting there sheepishly. I'm like, I felt the Lord speak to me. I hadn't told my wife yet what God said in the office. She's sitting right beside me. And I said, what is it? I said, I think the Lord wants us to go to Cambodia. And I looked at my wife. And she's like, this is how you know I'm married to a good woman. She's like, if that's what God wants us to do, then he'll speak to me too. And he did. About a day later. So here we are. We've got nothing planned. And the Lord said, go to Cambodia. I have not got, at this point, none of my ducks in a row. I haven't told my boss. I haven't told anyone, but we're going. How many know that it's not when you are prepared that God calls you to go? God calls you to go, and then he prepares you. Do you know that? When did Moses, like Moses went up and there was a Red Sea and the Lord said, hold out your staff. He would have felt like the silliest guy in the world. What's holding out my staff going to do? And the Lord said, hold out your staff. As soon as he obeyed, the waters opened. That's the way it works with God. Ever since then, I'll say this with as much humility as possible, my life is like a dream. I could not have pictured a better life for myself and my kids than God has for my wife and my kids. I spring up out of bed. I just said to my wife the other day, I walked, it was about 6:30 in the morning, I walked in the lounge room, I'm going, ugh. Oh, she goes, why do you look so wrecked? I'm like, oh, I just couldn't get to sleep. And she goes, why? Because I'm just so excited about life. I'm so excited about what God has for me because I could not have pictured the life, a better life than God has for me. Do you know that God has a purpose for you? Do you know God has a will for you? It can only happen if you give absolutely everything to him. Amen? I get a sense that there may be some people here who are not willing to let go of unforgiveness and bitterness. Now, I hope I'm wrong, right? I just get a sense that God's calling you to something, but you're not willing to let go of forgiving that person. Maybe it's a relationship between you and your parents, or your family members, or your friends. I get a sense that maybe there's an unforgiveness and a bitterness or an anger in some people here that God is telling you you need to let go of that tonight, put it on the altar. There's a lady named Elizabeth Elliot, and she was a missionary with her husband to Ecuador. And when she stepped onto the mission field, her husband was preaching to the Ecuadorians about Jesus' love. And those people actually speared him and his four friends to death. That left Elizabeth with a 10-month-old daughter in the middle of nowhere without a husband. It was said that she stayed and preached the love of Christ to those very people, choosing to forgive for taking her husband and leaving her with a 10-month-old daughter. Through her forgiveness, that tribe repented and came to Jesus Christ. You know, I just had an experience the other day. I was waking up after Cambodia. I thought it was the food, but I was waking up with this real knot in my stomach, like a real knot in my stomach. And I remember talking to my wife, going to church, and I said, I don't actually know what this is. I can't seem to get any rest from it. I feel like, I'm not sure how to explain to you, but it feels like someone put like a chain around my heart. Has anyone ever felt like that? Kind of just like your chest is kind of closing in a little bit, that kind of thing. And I just remember saying to my wife, I don't actually know what this is. Maybe I'm just working too hard and need to take a break. But I went for a walk and I asked the Lord, what is this thing in me, Lord? You know, am I working too hard? Do I need to take a break? Do I need to stop? Am I having lactose or something? Am I allergic or something? And the Lord showed me, no, it's actually unforgiveness and bitterness. At some point, thanks, dude. At some point, I allowed bitterness to rise up in my heart against some of my best friends. And it was stopping me from experiencing the flow. And the Lord told me this, will you give that up? Will you give that bitterness up? And I said to God, well, it's their fault, not mine. So why should I give it up? And the Lord said, will you give it up? And I said, okay. And I felt this thing in my heart to call my friend and apologize to them. And I said this, hey man, I just want to, I might come out of left field, I just want to apologize to you. Because for some reason I let bitterness or jealousy or whatever it might be to rise up in my heart. And the scripture says, don't let a root of bitterness rise up in your heart. And I just want to apologize to you, man. I should have been a better friend. Instantly, the knot went. Instantly, that pain went. Instantly. Some of us may be going through some stuff that can actually be helped by just obeying Jesus' teachings. Forgive. Don't judge. Don't let bitterness be in your heart. Some of us, for me, I truly believe that a lot of mental health for me comes from just obeying Jesus' teachings. Not saying all, but just obeying Jesus' teachings. We talk about the healing of Jesus when he heals physically, but you know his teaching heals your soul as well? Did you know that? What is it in you that you are not willing to put on the altar? I said to you guys at the start, don't listen to me, listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. Guys, is there any unforgiveness? Is there anyone in this room that you're holding unforgiveness to? Do you just need to go up to them, give them a hug and say, I'm sorry? Is there any bitterness or anger that's in you that God wants you to? I'm telling you, it's going to release you. I'm as free as a bird. I feel light. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It could be the other way around, but it's meant to be easy and light. He says, come to me. Come to me and I'll give you rest for your soul. Do you want rest? Do you want to stop struggling? But why don't we all stand? Guys, we're gonna have a moment. We're gonna have a moment where we're just gonna give you an opportunity. And we don't do this because it's magical or anything like that, but if you wanna come up the front and lay something down for the Lord, to the Lord that he's been pointing your heart, we're gonna open up this space. We're gonna play some worship music. This is not a show, it's just between you and God. If there's in your will something that you're keeping from God, come to the front, offer it to the Lord. If there's unforgiveness that you need to put on the altar, come to the front, put it to the Lord. We'll have leaders here, we'll pray for you. If you don't want to be prayed for, just say, hey, this is just between me and the Lord, it's fine. If you have anything in your body that you need healing for, come to the front. let's pray for each other. If you have a word for someone, and let's do it with wisdom, and it's full of encouragement and love, tell that to your friend. If there's some of you here that need to forgive someone in this room, now's your chance. So let's worship together. Pay attention to all the Holy Spirit's, but come to the front and lay it out to the Lord. Lay it on the altar, and I guarantee you, you will be healed in your soul. Jesus' words work. Let's lay it before the Lord. Is that okay? Just between you and the Holy Spirit. All right. If you need prayer, come to the front. Let's pray for you. All right.